you compose your mind, develop the sadha, the strong faith, to understanding how special and how wonderful the Buddha is and how important his teaching is. So that faith, develop it until it is very stable. Then when you have this very stable faith or sadha and confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, your mind can become very composed, very calm, very easily. Then through that faith, you will have confidence in yourself and the Buddha and his teaching. Then you can understand his teaching very well. You can assimilate what is being shared easily. Okay, then we will pay respect mindfully. Then you develop the spiritual faculty of sati. Then we will start the puja. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Kame sumichachara viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Sura meraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Okay, just relax yourself, then we'll start. Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Tonight, very good, I rejoice. Well, there were some questions. So they have written it. I think this question is relevant before we start the meditation. So you listen. This is good. That's why I say you must ask. Otherwise, I don't know where you get stuck. And I don't know what other important thing that you need to know. But through your question, I will know. So this one is the first question. Hello, Bright Tail. So the question I read to you first, then I correct it. Don't worry, it's not right or wrong. Your question is important. Don't worry about right and wrong. It will set the condition for people to understand. So the question says, body sweeping. Is it just a thought or actual feeling? So, you all understand the question? reflect properly, body sweeping. Did I ever say body sweeping? I always tell you what, my sweeping method. It's okay, because at least he asked like that, then we clarify. That's why he got a question which is very relevant. Is it just a thought or actual feeling? So what do you think? I always say it is to decondition the heedless thinking. No more thought, no more thinking. You just feel. Feel and relax. But he got a very important question. He still cannot understand. He said, what do you mean by feel? When I sit like that, he said, the thought went up. It's still a thought. He said. I say, are you sure it's still a thought? Because you don't understand, you think a lot, heedless. That's why you think it's a thought. But when you feel means what? You learn now. You feel your body hot or cold, you just put your hand and feel. What happened? That sensation, or on the floor mat, let's say. The moment that sensation, feeling is there, you don't, no thought, understand? But the trouble is, the moment you see your hand, the thought come out. Then the moment, before you can feel, you start to think. That is where the problem is. So what you need to experience is that feeling. Means when you feel something hot or cold, you know that. You go and touch somewhere cold, the floor there or on the mat. That feeling is there. Understand? So when you feel means what? You don't actually send your hand down there, understand? You send your mind to the contact, understand? That's how your mind feel, understand? That's why body cannot sweep, understand? The mind sweep through the body, understand? So the mind go to wherever you want it to be. It means you train the mind to be at the location you want it to be. Understand? That's why you go to the forehead. And you must have something for the mind to do. Otherwise, this mind keep on heedlessly wandering off and think. That's why when you do anapanasati, split second is gone. Split second is gone. But you haven't trained. So to train means you train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. And you must let the mind do something so that it does not heedlessly wander off. So what do we come out with as a skillful means for the mind to do something? That's why you ask the mind to feel. Don't think. Feel what? Feel what? What you want the mind to feel? Let's say at the forehead. What are you feeling? What did I tell you? If there is any? Tension, tightness, or stress within. And these three words are so easy to understand. When you are having a headache, there is a lot of tension there. When you have a lot of problem, you worry a lot, there is a lot of stress and tension inside your head. Your worry, your fear, your anxiety, all this you will feel it in your emotion, in your heart, in your forehead. Because this is the place you think and this is the place you feel the emotion. And these are related because when you think of fearful thing, unhappy thing, of things with problem, then it will condition your fear, worry, anxiety, and create stress for you. Understand? That is how you get into trouble in life. Understand? So this is the theory part. But to really understand it, you have to do it. Understand? That's what I want you to feel. When you really feel, then you realize after a tired day at the office or stressful day at the office or after you do your kiosk or whatever for housewife or something, you realize that you are not relaxed, not peaceful. But there are a lot of things still going on. Your so-called problems of life, they are still creating stress and tension for you. That's why you find it so difficult to relax. So meditation is to come here and de-stress, understand? So that you can have moments of silent mind, relax your body and mind. It's just like you go for facial or a spa, understand? You just let everything down, relax and let them do the massage, let them do everything. And then how you feel? You feel very good, isn't it? Because you are able to relax. Then all the stress and tension will go out. Then you like doze off, but very peaceful. Understand? But meditation, you need to be aware. Understand? So it's more than just relax and sleep and doze off. Then you does not develop much awareness. So meditation is to develop this awareness that become heedfulness, understand, or mindfulness. Then you can be mindful of what is going on. Then you can investigate into how you live your life, how thought come to be, and how it condition you into all the various mind state, emotion, and all those things. Then you start to understand how all this function. They call it citta niyama, order of mind, how your mind actually function, the dependent origination, the four noble truths, the essential dhamma, all you will start to see when you have mindfulness. That's why mindfulness is very important. And to be mindful, you need to aware, feel, without the thought. So that's why the mind supreme matter is very useful. Okay? So with that understanding, maybe now we can start the meditation. So you have to understand meditation, always remember, got two parts. First part is just train this mind to be aware, to be mindful without thought. So how do we train? We use a skillful mean called mind sweeping method. I already explained. So you do that first if you need to. Okay, sorry. Luckily, let me know. You meditate before? Ah, good. What type of meditation are you? Oh, what about metta? Loving kindness. Oh, you have done before, Then the mind sweeping method, you familiar not? Okay. After I give you instruction, you're supposed to sweep your mind. You close your eye. Relax your body and mind. Then make sure your backbone is straight. Then after that, you feel your forehead. You start with your forehead. Then slowly, I will give you instruction to train your mind to be in a state of silent, relaxed state. And this will actually help you to decondition your heedless thinking, so that you can become peaceful. Then I need to let you know one more thing, because I thought you already here before. You look at the whiteboard. 5 mental hindrances and 5 spiritual faculties. According to the Buddha, the reason why human being is not able to become peaceful and develop the meditation is because they have these 5 mental hindrances. You know the word hindrance. It hinders your mind from becoming peaceful. Understand? From entering the meditative state of silent awareness. Means this mind has the mental hindrances that prevents you from becoming peaceful. What are they? Sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt. And these 5 things are actually common sense. But the Buddha identified it for you, because otherwise you don't know what is going on. The first 2 has something to do with your senses. First one is positive craving, sensual desire. When you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile feel or think, your sense experience, you will react, understand, whether you like or you don't like. So if you like, then you desire for that sense experience, understand. If you don't like, you develop the dislike or anger or ill will or envy and jealousy. So these are actually positive and negative reactions. So the Buddha said, your mind oscillates between like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. So when you keep on doing that, means what? It becomes a habit, understand? Habitual. So every moment of sense experience when you live life, whether you are seeing something or thinking or hearing, especially hearing, seeing and thinking, these 3. You think a lot, understand? Because you keep on reacting to what you see, what you hear, and what you think. And because of that, this mind becomes so habitual. with all the like and dislike, pleasant, sense of fear, then your reaction to what you see, what you hear, and what you think. And this reaction will cause you to be heedless, means you cannot pay attention to life. You are not able to see things as they are because you are preoccupied with your sense experience, the reaction to it. You are heedless in that sense. So because of that, meditation is to understand that this has to stop. Otherwise, you will continue to be heedless. There is no equanimity. Equanimity means the mind that is not distracted, the mind that is calm, unwavering, collected and peaceful. So when you have samadhi, the stability of mind to stay collected and unwavering, and then whatever you see, whatever you hear and think will not stir, your mind will not waver. That is a spiritual faculty. That is not a mental hindrance. That's why you have to cultivate the opposite five, which is stated on the right-hand side. Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. Those are Pali term. Sada is faith, confident in the Buddha and his teaching. So when you have confidence, your mind got no more restlessness, which is the fourth hindrance. Your mind become restless is because the Buddha said you have problem. When you have problem, you worry. So fear, worry, anxiety will make you restless. Then you are not calm, not composed because you got a problem. You got a situation that you cannot attend to. So these are the hindrances. Then the third one is sleepiness, sloth and torpor. When you want to do something, you don't see the importance of it, you become sleepy. And when you are sleepy, you cannot develop anything. It's just like study. When you are sleepy, you cannot study. You go to a class or a lecture, you don't like the subject. You feel so sleepy, you totally cannot understand what is being taught. So meditation is the same. When you have sleepiness, it's a hindrance to understanding. It's a hindrance to developing the meditation. So this first four is very powerful. Then the last one is doubt. When you don't understand what is going on, you're not sure why you are like that. How come you are like that? Means you don't even know the hindrance are the one that make you lack of peace. So these five hindrances are very real. So the Buddha said, when you know these are the ones that cause you to become heedless, you have to train your mind to develop the opposite five, spiritual faculty, so that you can overcome them and meditate. So the first one, just now, pre-puja we do. The faith in the Buddha is teaching, sada, you do it. Then virya is after understanding how beautiful his teaching is and how important his teaching is, then it will drive you with a spiritual tenacity to cultivate. That is called virya, spiritual zeal. Z-E-A-L. Then you develop the third spiritual faculty, sati. Sati is mindfulness or awareness before the thought, before the knowing, before the thinking. You're just silent and aware. Like when you pay respect to the Buddha, I say do it mindfully means what? Body and mind move as one without thought. That is mindfulness. So when you train your mind to be in sati, that's why I say your heedless thinking must stop. Means you do the mind sweeping method. You feel relaxed and so no more thinking. So you keep on moving your mind this way. Then you realize you become more and more calm, more and more peaceful naturally. Then after a while, your mind will be more conducive with the calmness for you to start the meditation. Then sati can also be trained using other technique and method. Some they use chanting, some they use object of meditation, then some they actually use other type of appropriate skillful means that are suitable for you. Everyone is different. So what we normally do is after the mind sweeping method, I will combine with loving kindness so that your mind state become peaceful, calm. Then you train that mind so that you can stabilize that mindfulness. That mindfulness need to be stabilized. Otherwise, you cannot use it. It's not stable enough. So it's too weak. So sati, if you stabilize it, it becomes smart. So that's why it becomes collected and unwavering. So how do we stabilize it? That's why the Buddha advise you to do anapanasati. Mindfulness of in and out breath. Our breathing is always with us, within the moment. So if you can silence your mind and be aware of this in and out breath without thought, then you become very peaceful and very calm very fast. Then it will stabilize. When it stabilizes, it becomes samadhi. You have to train it until you are so skillful that finally you don't need even the object of meditation to become peaceful. Means that breathing is no longer required. You can become peaceful on your own because your mind already established in sati and samadhi. The spiritual faculty is there. So when you have sati and samadhi, means mindfulness and collectedness of mind, there is no wavering, no thinking, no distraction. It's collected. It has clarity. Means you can see things as they are. That's how you understand life. That's how you understand things very clearly. That is what the Buddha called wisdom, panya, the fifth spiritual faculty. So meditation is just to develop this. Then after that, when your mind has this spiritual faculty, there is no more hindrance. Then you enter meditation very easily. That mind is called a meditative mind, and that one can understand things very fast. Then the second part is to use that mind with the spiritual faculty to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. And the Noble Eightfold Path include the four foundations of mindfulness, all the rest, everything. So that is the gist of it. So now I will off the light, then I will give you instruction. For those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away start. Okay. Relax your body and mind. Then make sure you have a very stable posture. You have problem crossing your leg, you can just lean against the wall or sit on a couch and just relax. Make sure your posture is stable. Then your backbone, if possible, make sure it's quite straight. Don't slouch. Then you close your eye. Relax body and mind. Completely relax. Then you just feel. Feel your forehead. Don't think, just feel. If you can detect any tightness, any tension, or any stress within, you just silently relax every part of it. Feel your forehead soothingly relax. Relax them all. Then you move your attention to your eye muscle. Again, feel, don't think, just feel. Normally after a tired day, the eye muscles are quite tense, not relaxed. So you feel and you tell yourself, I need to relax all this eye muscle. Then you feel your eye soothingly relax, relax and relax. Then you move your attention to your facial muscle. For the first time, feel your facial muscle. Don't think, just feel. Feel every part of it. You will realize that it is not relaxed. There's a lot of tension, a lot of tightness there. Because if you are relaxed, you will be able to radiate a radiant smile and you have joy inside. A happy mind is a relaxed mind. But when you have problem, tension and stress and worry, or what they call a situation that you are holding on to, then you will become affected. There will be stress, there will be unhappiness reflected in your facial muscle. So you need to relax. But if you find it still not easy, then you need to combine with loving kindness, metta. Metta is a very easy way to allow you to relax your facial muscle. You just visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. Just visualize, don't think, visualize. radiating a radiant smile, then you reflect that smile. When you can smile, means you have happiness, you have joy. And by that nature, you are already relaxed. So that's why your facial muscle will be very relaxed when you can radiate a radiant smile. Then after that, you can start reciting loving kindness to yourself. You can recite following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, you must feel your own entire body and all of your mind, your entire being. Be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel that well-being and happiness within your entire body and mind, your entire being. Then you can repeat it one or two more times. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel your body, each and every cells of it, relax, having well-being and happiness. Yeah. Then after that, you continue to radiate. May I, this body and mind of mine, be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. So you feel both physical and mental, no more suffering. Yeah. Then you continue. May it too be free from all harm and danger. May all my mind state too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May it be free from all fear, worry, anxiety and negativity. Excuse me. Then you can continue to read it. May my heart too be calm and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be joy, and may there be peace deep within our hearts. Then you can radiate this same metta to somebody you love, you care for, you have affection for. May my loved ones too be well and happy, well and happy. You can visualize your loved one, eh? Can be your parents, your spouse, your children, your good friend, or your brothers and your sister, or somebody very close to you. Yeah. Then you wish them well-being and happiness. You radiate from your heart. You can visualize them radiating a radiant smile though. Then you direct that metta to them. May my loved ones too be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all too be free from harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be joy, and may there be peace deep within their hearts. Then you can read it to all beings. Huh? May all beings within this vicinity, huh? Of Brother Sui An and Mi Fong's house, and all of my Kayanamita friends, Dhamma friends, co-cultivator and meditator, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be joy, and may there be peace deep within their hearts. Then you can continue to radiate this metta to all the other beings. Huh? May all beings within the vicinity of Subang Jaya, Slang Ho, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, then our planet, Mother Earth, then the solar system, then all beings within the galaxy, and all beings within the entire existence of the whole universe. May they all too be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness deep within your heart and radiate to all. Then may they all to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all to be free from harm and danger too. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be joy, and may there be peace deep within their hearts. Then after that, you come back to your facial muscle. By now, you should be more calm and more composed. Then you feel and relax every part of your facial muscle. Now it will be easier. You will feel it like completely relaxed. Then there is a lot of joy. Then you feel your neck relax, feel your shoulder relax, hand, shoulder, back to your heart. Relax every part. Then you move your attention from your shoulder to your heart or your chest area. This is a very important location within your body. This is where the heartbeat is. This is where the seat of consciousness is. This is where your life force arises and passes away. So you just silence your mind. Just feel. Don't think. Feel your heart. You can detect any vibration or your heartbeat, you just silent and stay there. For those who are new, if you are not trained in your mindfulness and you don't have such capability, you just relax and feel. No need to do anything. Like you feel your forehead, you feel your heart area. Then continue to relax, feel it relax, soothingly relax. Then you move your mental attention down to your stomach. Do the same, feel. And relax. No thought, Feel and relax. Then you sweep it down to your abdomen. Again, you just feel and relax. When you feel, you just send the mind there. And just silent. And let it feel. Anasana. Don't go and look for it. You just around that area, abdomen there. Just silent. It's just like you send your mind to your hand that feel the mat. It will feel it on. It will detect it on. So you just silent. And it will detect the abdomen rising and falling. So if you do just that without thought, then the mindfulness will come. Then you feel your buttock relax. Then your leg do the same, relax. Just feel and relax. It will decondition your heedless thinking. It will make you very calm and very peaceful. Then you can reverse the whole cycle from the leg. Feel, relax. Buttock, feel and relax. Then you go to your abdomen. Feel. Relax. Stomach, feel, relax. Your heart or your chest area, just silent and feel. Relax everything. Then shoulder, hand, back to shoulder, relax everything. Then your neck, relax, facial muscle, relax. Then your eye muscle, again, feel and relax. Then your forehead. By then, you have completed one complete cycle. So, now you can go to train this sati that you have developed so that it can stabilize. Okay? So, I will train you in anapanasati. Anapanasati is mindfulness of in and out breath. Like the word anapana is in and out breath, sati is mindfulness. So mindfulness of in and out breath is very simple. Like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing. You just maintain awareness or attention in front of your nostril. Then just silent. then your breathing will go on naturally on its own. Then as you detect your breathing through your mind, you just allow the mind to follow this breathing. Like the Buddha said, breathing in, it is aware. Breathing out, it is aware. But for those who are new, you have not trained, split second, the mindfulness will be lost. It will just wander off. Then you become heedless very fast. You find that you are hardly aware. But don't worry. Be patient. Every time it wanders off, you just silently, patiently bring it back to the breathing. You just maintain attention at the breathing and feel. If you are patient enough, it will stabilize. Your anapanasati will develop. It's actually easier than learning how to ride a bicycle. You patiently, continuously train. Then sooner or later, the mindfulness of the in and out breath will happen by itself, naturally, without thought. Initially, it's like split second is gone, split second is gone. Then after a while, the hindrance will come and disturb you, like sleepiness and all those things. But don't worry, patiently train, that's it. Then sooner or later, you will find that you have more and more moment of awareness. Not so fast, you get distracted already. So as it stabilizes, there will be a point in time where suddenly you realize you become very calm and very peaceful. You develop what they call the initial calmness, spiritual calmness that they call piti. Piti is a spiritual joy, a spiritual rapture that can arise when the mind is trained. When the mind is in sati, when it is just aware without thought. Then you continue to relax and allow the anapanasati to develop, to become more and more calm, more and more peaceful, and more refined. Then this piti, later on, will stabilize until you like to meditate. Then if you continue to relax and just aware and silent, the piti will become sukha. Sukha is a very refined piti. It becomes so subtle, so refined, that it becomes a bliss. They call it bliss. It's a very blissful feeling. You feel so good. And you will like to meditate because it is a very important spiritual mind state. And the danger is there are many who get attached to this state of sukha or bliss. So they get like absorbed into it. Then they keep on looking for it. Then you get stuck. You don't progress anymore. Then like any good food, after you have done it many times, it's no longer special. That's why you will start to develop the restlessness, the doubt, and all those things again. So what you should do is when you have this sukha, experience it for the first time, you should just understand it and just allow it to be. Then continue to relax and continue to allow this sukha to continue to become more and more refined. Then after a while, this sukha will become very quiet, very peaceful, and very tranquil. And it will enter what they call pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, silent mind, without thought. When it reaches that state, you will realize all of your object of meditation, whether it's breathing, anapanasati, or rising and falling, everything become very subtle. Very, very subtle, like no more breathing. Like you cannot detect it. Even the rising and falling, you cannot detect it anymore. But everything has become so subtle. During this time, you don't panic. You just silence your mind and just relax further. And allow it to be. If you do it long enough, until this pasati stabilizes, then you will realize even the very refined breathing or rising and falling, you will start to detect again because the mind has develop the higher mindfulness, the more refined mindfulness. It can be mindful of all the subtle movement in breathing. Then you realize wherever you locate your mind or put your mind, it can detect all of the vibration and movement there. Then it can become very sensitive. This mind become very, very sensitive. And it can be at whatever location you want it to be, then you can feel clearly within whatever that is happening, all of the movement, the vibration. You can even detect your own heartbeat without a stethoscope. Yeah. Then everything become like magnified, slow down and very clear. Yeah. So this is the meditative mind, the silent mind, the still, tranquil mind, impassity, that can develop the understanding of meditation. They can understand how sense door consciousness arise and pass away. It can be at the moment of its arising, sustained and then passing away. It can see all the characteristics that arise and pass away. It can even be at the moment of feeling, moment of perception, activity of mind or consciousness. That's why that silent mind is very different. It is in sati and there is samadhi. So you train your mind until it's very stable. Then all this you will start to understand. Then all of the Buddha's teaching, you will start to witness them within your own form and mind. You only need to silence your mind. Okay, I will let you continue on your own. I will ring the bell in about 15 minutes time. Then we can start the second session. Okay. Okay, for those who still want to continue to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness or mindfulness that you have developed. For those who have stabilized them, you have to make use of this trained mind that is in sati. To develop the meditation means to cultivate meditation in daily life, which is cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path. When you combine the sati or mindfulness with the cultivation, it becomes heedfulness, apamana. So the Buddha's advice before he passed away, he always tell the monk only one thing. Apamadena sampadesa, that is, strive on with heedfulness, nothing else. Means train your mind to be ever mindful, to cultivate the meditation as taught by him, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. And you do that, you are destined for enlightenment. Yeah. So if you understand the deep meaning of this advice, you will come to understand that you only need to train your mind to be heedful. Then enlightenment is guaranteed. Yeah. So technically, it's not so difficult. But when you start to do, it's a different thing. Depend on your past. If you have your past cultivation to support you, then this life is very easy. You can move very fast. You can understand very fast. And there is a enhanced probability of realizing the enlightenment in the here and the now, this civilization. Okay, now we can come to the second part. Second part is reporting of meditation, followed by Q&A, question and answer. If you got any meditative experience or problem that you might want to report, then after that you can ask whatever question that is related to meditation, to the Buddha Dharma or the teaching, and how you can apply what you have learned here in the teaching to help you understand life and overcome all of your life problem and situation. So now we start off with reporting. Anybody wants to report their meditation? Nobody. Luckily tonight we got some question ready. So I will go through the question. They are quite relevant. Okay, this one, the question goes like that. When I'm in total relaxed mind during meditation, I always feel a huge vacuum. And after a while, I will doze off and feeling like falling off. So what is the question? He just put there, thanks. What is your question, Eddie? No, this description is okay, but do you have any question? This is what you have described. You want to ask, is this right or is this wrong? So that is the question, okay? So you see, the problem with meditation is don't try to ask right or wrong. Because initially you can do that because it's not easy to understand. But after a while, you see, when you start to ask right or wrong, means what? You are seeking an answer, understand not? Seeking an answer to the question that you don't understand. Means you yourself don't investigate. You yourself don't want to understand. You just want people to tell you. Then you believe the answer, then you try to apply that answer in your meditation. And that is where a lot of meditators get caught, understand? That is where every time a lot of this so-called meditator or cultivator always ask me. After the question, then he say, after I have answered, he say, so brother, what must I do? Understand? You just want an answer. You want people to teach you what to do. How can you meditate? I always say one very important essence. You must meditate with understanding. Remember? That's how you get yourself back on track. Understand? Otherwise, you continue to do this. You find that very difficult for you all to progress in your meditation. Like the Buddha said, don't believe even what he said. Whatever he shared with you or explained to you or proclaimed to you, you must investigate it, like what he told the Kalamas. You must find out and understand, then you know how to do. Otherwise, it is not your understanding. You only think you know because the teacher says so or somebody says so. Then you do. Then when people ask you, why you do like that? Brother Teo says so. Or the Buddha says so. means you don't understand or not. So very difficult to progress, because when you do without understanding, you become gullible, you just follow instruction. So what is important is, no need to know right or wrong. Just ask yourself a very basic question. Go back to the fundamental. Why am I here for? To develop the meditation. That's why I say you must do with understanding. Understanding means what? I must understand what I do. Understand? So what you have done, the way you ask this question shows very clearly you are curious about this state. You want to know whether right or wrong. Means your focus is not on understanding what you are doing. Understand? And most people are caught in this one. Where they got sometimes very fantastic experience or very unique experience. They really want to know whether this is something related to progress or something that they can become very happy about or something that they did, they don't know whether it's right or wrong. So when you start to have that type of focus, means you don't understand why you are here sitting. You don't understand the purpose of your cultivation here, and you don't understand what is meditation. So you need to come back to that clear understanding of understanding what is meditation, so that when you sit here and do, you know what you are doing. So I always remind you all two things. Meditation got two parts. First, to train the mind. The question, are you training your mind? What are you doing? You are not training your mind, first thing. Second thing is, after you train, you must stabilize it. Remember? The mindfulness. Then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Then no more question in that. So this question come about means what? You're not sure what is going on. And you want an answer. So no amount of answer will be relevant. If I become gullible, I just answer you, then you just take my answer and say, Brother Teo says so. Then what happened? You don't learn? I don't know what I'm doing. So that's why I have to explain this. Then I can explain this based on what I experience and also what I understand from teaching and sharing. And sometimes certain things that you have experienced, where everyone is different, everyone is unique, it has something to do with your past. Understand? Then it has something to do with your condition you are now in this world. Understand? And there are other conditions that can lead to all this. So whatever I explain is based on my understanding. Understand? So because I understand it this way, I can explain it to you. What are the probable cause of this experience, this mind state and all those things? But this is not the meditation. Understand? This is just to allow you to understand what has gone on at the start. Then sometimes this type of description is good, because it can bring about something that I can tell you about your past cultivation. Because certain type of experience don't come by itself, understand? Means when you have certain type of experience, it is okay to ask, but you must understand why you ask, understand? You ask because you already know what is meditation, but something else arise when you try to train your mind and do all these things, and then it becomes relevant. So I don't want you to be caught in the first instance where everything that you curious, you just want an answer, you just ask, and then it defeats the purpose of a question. Then you don't progress, you get stuck. Okay, so now you understand that already, I can go into the question, or I can go into the description. When I'm in a total relaxed state, total relaxed state means, according to him, he's already totally relaxed. Anasana means he don't have a problem, he don't have stress, he don't have worry, he don't have tension. The mind is peaceful, relaxed. Anasana. Then what happened during meditation? He said he always feel a huge vacuum. Okay, and after a while, he will doze off. I will doze off and feeling like falling off. So this is what is described through his experience. So when you have a mind that is relaxed and you doze off, means what? you roughly let me know. You all experience it before. Let's say after a tired day, then you come back, you have a good bath, then you relax. What happened? You feel sleepy. That's why you do so. Then when you say when you are totally relaxed, you blank. Blank means what? Going to be unconscious. Going to do so. So it is something that is quite normal, isn't it? But if you understand what is meditation, this thing won't happen, understand now? Where this is stop and topper coming in already, understand now? But it's not really stop and topper in the sense that it's sleepiness. It's just like you don't know what your focus is. You don't know why you are trying to develop this meditation, and you don't know the purpose of training this mind to be aware. So you lost that focus. You lost that understanding of why you are sitting here to develop, because you are here to train your mind. So that training part is not there. Okay? Then the stabilizing of that mind that is already trained is also not there. Then you start to experience something. Then this one distract you, understand? Take you into that those state, understand? Like a huge vacuum, understand? Then blank, then you doze off. Then like falling off and all this. So all these descriptions will come. So the question you have to always bring back is, while you are sitting, you ask yourself, what am I doing? Understand? Am I training my mind? First inquiry. Understand? Then if I am not training my mind, what must you do? Go back and train your mind. Understand? Because meditation is not about relax and becoming peaceful only. Understand? Most people like to do that because it is something that makes you feel good. Understand? It makes you relax and make you peaceful. And a lot of people actually find it very, very good or very important to be able to be in a state of relax with inner peace. Understand? Inner peace is one of the byproducts of meditation. When your mind develops inner peace, it will have inner well-being. Because a peaceful mind is a relaxed mind. And this relaxed state of peace without fear, worry, anxiety is very soothing and very calming. That's why there is inner well-being. You feel very good. As opposed to when you are restless, fearful, a lot of anxiety, worry, tension, stress. These are negative mind states. So to develop a meditation through training the mind to be aware and mindful will lead to inner peace and inner well-being. Understand? Because when you start to relax and without thought, then that peace will come. But when the peace come, you forgot about your focus. Understand? Your focus is what? To develop the training of the mind to be what? You train your mind to be what? To be mindful and aware. If you have recall or remember that focus, then you will know what to do with it. Then you just relax and maintain awareness. Understand? Awareness through what? Anapanasati. Understand? Or awareness by having an object of meditation that can make you mindful. Understand? Aware. And stabilize it. That is what you're supposed to do, understand? Not asking me right or wrong, understand? Then what must I do? That's why I want you to understand. Then you will know what to do. And that is what precisely meditation is all about. If you understand, the question is no more, understand? You will know what to do. It's like I now tell you the reverse. Whatever question you have, if it's nothing related to training the mind, stabilizing it to be mindful and use it to meditate, that is all the wrong question. Don't ask. Just do. Means your sole purpose and intent, you must understand, my mind is heedless, not trained. You got a hindrance. Is my spiritual faculty developed? If not, I develop it. I train. So when I train my spiritual faculty, I will have sadha virya leading to sati, mindfulness. That's why you will train your mind to be mindful, understand? Then when it is mindful, you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi, understand? Then when I have sati samadhi, I have clarity of mind, no thought. I will see things as they are. Wisdom will arise. When I have these five, all the five hindrances will go. Understand? Take for example sada, faith. When you are very confident, very composed and very calm, when you have very strong faith, you got no doubt, isn't it? Correct or not? The last hindrance is no more. Understand? Then when your mind is very confident, very composed, there is no restlessness, isn't it? Correct or not? When there is samadhi, also same. It is not disturbed. There is no restlessness. So this mind that has samadhi is unwavering, understand? So sensual desire and ill will also cannot come in, understand? You see the parana. Then when there is sati, mindfulness, there is no thought, understand? You just aware, understand? Before the arising of thought. So no thought means what? No fear, no worry, no anxiety, no restlessness. Understand? Yeah. Of course, when you have the last one, wisdom, all the five gone. Understand? Because you understand already. Yeah. Then the sloth and torpor, this one you can overcome if your virya and your faith is very strong. Understand? When you are full of confidence, and that confidence drive you to give you this spiritual zeal or tenacity to cultivate. How can you be sleepy? You see the importance of meditation. You see the importance of realizing this Dhamma so that suffering need not be, so that your life can be taken care of, so that you don't have to go through life the way people go through, so that you don't have to be entangled with life anymore, so that all of suffering related to delusion, heedlessness, ignorance, will not arise in you anymore. So the spiritual faculty will take care of the hindrance. And with that five spiritual faculty, you no need to ask me how to meditate. You will know how to meditate. Because you have all of them. This is the meditative mind that is perfect. When your faith, your sada, virya, mindfulness and samadhi is very stable, you keep on understanding things. Wisdom will keep on arising. Panya will keep on arising. And that is the meditative mind. Understand? So that's why when you use that to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, you will develop what is right view. Right view is with regards to the laws that governs life and existence. And the Buddha has described them. The three spiritual laws that he termed under right view. The law of karma. The law of the mind. Citta Niyama. Karma Niyama. Then the Dhamma Niyama. These three great spiritual law governs all of life and existence. So if you understand them, you understand life, you know how to live. So when you have that right view cultivated, you will know how to arise the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. And the right effort to purify your thought. All this come about through what? The right understanding of law of karma. Law of karma say, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. So if karma plays such a great role in your life, what must you do? You must take care of karma, isn't it? Take care of karma means what? You follow the advice of the Buddha, isn't it? Avoid all evil, do good. Otherwise, how to take care of karma? So how to avoid all evil? Keep your five precepts. Understand? Then, apart from keeping your five precepts, you must train your mind to be heedful, aware. Otherwise, you cannot see your mental intention behind all your actions, speech and thought, which is karma. Understand? So when you have mindfulness, you can see your mental intention behind all of your actions, speech and thought. The Noble Eightfold Path falls into place. Understand? There's a right view leading to right thought, right speech and right action. Understand? Then the way you live your life in accordance with the right understanding. That's why it's right livelihood. Then your right effort, the four right effort to purify your action, speech and thought. Whenever that wrong thought arises, you must arise the right effort to abandon it. Understand? Wrong action, wrong speech also same. Wrong life view also same. Right effort to abandon it. then the right effort to prevent all this wrong thought, wrong action, wrong speech, and wrong livelihood from arising. Then you develop the last two right effort, which is the positive aspect. The right effort to cultivate the right thought that is still not in you, the right action and the right speech and the right livelihood that is still not in you, understand? Then the last one is right effort to refine upon and perfect whatever wholesomeness and goodness that is already in you, understand? That's how you can develop all this, so that Noble Eightfold Path will transform you into a very different type of human being. Personality-wise, character-wise, you completely transform. You become a noble being. Noble being is enlightened being, where they are very noble in their understanding of life, very noble in the way they conduct themselves through their actions, speech, and thought. Very noble in the way they live their life, understand? Very noble in the way they interact with people. They have love, they have wisdom, they have compassion. They are incapable of negativity. That's why everything they do, no negativity. We are all right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Born of right understanding. That's how Noble Eightfold Path can free you. Understand? Then when you understand how your mind functions and work through the second spiritual law, when you start to meditate and see how your mind arises and passes away depending on the dependent origination that the Buddha taught, the dwelling, paticca-samuppada. Then you start to understand everything that arises and passes away has that characteristics of impermanent. If you grasp and cling deludedly, suffering is the result. Then because they arise and they pass away, condition arising, causal phenomena, it is empty. It is non-self. Anasana, anatta. Then when you start to see this happening within your own form and mind and within all of phenomena, whether physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, then you realize everything is just the way it is. There is no such thing as a permanent, unchanging entity that you can call a soul or a me or I inside there. And then your delusion, self-delusion, no more. Once you are able to actually root that out, you like suddenly wake up. No more delusion. And you will no longer be deluded by your aggregate of mind that delude you to believe that the feeling is you, body is you, the mind is you. There is a thinker behind the thought. There is the person who think, who feel, who perceive, and who arise the consciousness. And all this delusion will dissolve. Then there is this mind that is liberated. That's how you become enlightened. That's how you are no longer gullible. You are no longer caught in the what they call wheel of life. They call samsara, anasara, the wheel of birth and death. You don't have to come anymore if you choose to. So all these are within your ability to realize. If only you cultivate and train your mind to have the spiritual faculty. And the most important is sati, mindfulness. Without sati, there is no life. Without sati, you cannot see anything. You are blind. That's why mindfulness is the most important. And it's the first factor of enlightenment. There are seven factors that can make you enlightened, the Buddha said. First one is sati. That's why without sati, you cannot move to the second factor of enlightenment. Second factor of enlightenment is what? Dhamma vichaya, which investigation of the Dhamma. Investigate into everything that the Buddha teach you. Well, all his teaching is called the Dhamma. So when you investigate into his Dhamma, then you realize you stand up to investigation, you have so much joy and confidence in him, understand? Then your faith in him becomes unshakable. That's why after you have sati, and you do the Dhamma investigation, that is stand up to investigation, your faith becomes so strong. What happened? There is this joy, this virya, understand? That's why the third factor of enlightenment is virya. Immediately, there is this joy, there is strong passion and tenacity to go this way. That's why the virya will arise. third factor of enlightenment. Then when virya arises, the next one will follow. That's why your mind will develop the tranquility, the peace. Then piti, which is the fourth factor of enlightenment, will arise. Then you feel a lot of piti in your mind state, because the virya will make you mindful. And when you are mindful, there is this piti, spiritual joy, spiritual rapture. Then you will go through to sukha, and you don't cling and attach, you will become pasati, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. And that is the fifth enlightenment factor. Then when your pasati becomes very stable, this is what we have to train until it's very stable, then it becomes samadhi. Samadhi is a collected mind, unwavering mind. That is the sixth enlightenment factor. And when you have this, sati and samadhi, you are sitting as they are, where there is clarity. Then wisdom will arise. And when you have wisdom, you're no longer gullible. You no longer react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile, feel, and think. And because of that, your mind has equanimity. Upeka, the last factor of enlightenment. This is how you develop the seventh factor of enlightenment and become awakened. So, this is how you have to understand. That's why questions are very important. If you don't ask, there is no condition for me to explain. Asana. Then I realized after so long, it's like something missing, you know, except for a few who have developed the diligence and consistency to cultivate. The rest don't seem to know what is going on. You know, once a week you come, then you go back, you forgot, you become heedless again, then you come back again, you listen again. It's like it doesn't go in, understand? Where you never investigate, you never take it serious enough to find out on your own what is it that you call meditation. What is it that the Buddha is trying to teach you and share with you out of love and compassion for you, so that you don't have to entangle your life anymore, so that suffering in this world need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized. That's why this is very important to you. Your life, you have to really, really see this clearly. And if you miss this window, I can tell you it's going to be very difficult. Very difficult. Because this is a very good window and very rare to come by. Okay, I got one more, then we can open up to the floor again. This question was sent to Sri An through the phone, WhatsApp. That's why the question is by WhatsApp. But it's a very good question. That's why you don't really laugh. I read to you, you will laugh first, of course. You got three lines on it, the question. Everybody also want to know this. And this is a very good question. Why still got so much craving after listening to so much Dhamma? That is the first question. Do we really comprehend what was spoken? That was not a question, a doubt. The third one is the best. Guarding the sense door need tremendous effort. You agree or not? You agree means you don't understand the Buddha Dharma. Effort alone cannot free you, understand? Right effort is at the thought level, understand? To deal with the thought, abandon the wrong thought, prevent the arising of the wrong thought, wrong action, and wrong speech. Then right effort to cultivate the wholesome thought and all those things. Effort is only used when it related to thought. Understand? What free you is only one thing. Remember that wisdom. That's why guarding sense door, if you use effort, you are suppressing. Understand? You are trying to control. Understand? Understand? The Buddha used this word, be vigilant. Understand? You know what is vigilant? Heedful, understand? Understand? Means you must be heedful. Means vigilant, understand? Means always on the stand now, so that delusion does not come and delude you into all the negativity. So that evil root will not arise and condition you into negativity. Understand? Vigilant means ever mindful, heedful, understand? So that the wisdom protect you, understand? Vigilant is not effort, no. Understand? When you don't have wisdom, I tell you, you cannot deal with defilement. Understand? All of your effort, no meaning. You cut here, cut there, no meaning. You say, let go lah, don't attach. Who is letting go? The person who still got delusion try to let go. You ask yourself, can or not? If I don't understand, I cannot let go. Understand? You, like I told Eddie just now. He said, the kid, if you got nothing for him to do, the boy or the girl, you know what happened? He will go all around and create havoc. Understand? Then if you got something for them to do, like a toy that make them interested, they will stay there, play quietly, and they don't disturb you. So what happened is, this kid is like your mind. Your mind, you must let him do something, otherwise it's like this kid. He will go all around and create havoc. Because your sense now are very, very, what they call, your consciousness or mind is trapped inside your physical body, and the senses are all there. So upon contact, it's automatic, understand? That's why it's all nature's law, dependent originating, condition arising. You become conscious, then you start to think. Then because of hindrance, you become heedless. Then you do all those things, like a kid. And you can tell the kid, control him, don't let him do. You think the kid will listen to you? Train him when he was very young. Sit down, do meditation, do mindfulness. I tell you, he will give you hell. There is no way. Unless he understands, he will not do. Understand? So you need to make them understand why they must do. Understand? And their life, let them decide. You only advise for your good, for your future. This is what I can share with you. I can advise you. But your life, you still decide. You find out for yourself whether this is going to help you or not. So if you do that, then you do not create trouble for him. Understand? Because he is due to his own karma. Understand? Born of his karma, heir to his karma, conditioned, supported by his karma, and he is what he is because of his karma. So why do you want to interfere? You only play your role as a parent who has a duty towards their upbringing, towards advising them, guiding them. That's all. Do not force them to do anything. Do not pressure them to do anything. So meditation is the same. Guarding the sense door, you don't need effort. They confuse this so-called effort with what is going on in daily life, understand? Like when you keep your precept, what happened to the fourth precept? What is the fourth precept? Abstain from telling lie and false speech. You say so difficult, no? Understand? How to keep that one? Salesman especially. Then they keep on telling me, it's not how to keep. You don't see the important, you will justify. Then like very difficult to keep, understand? Like a lot of tremendous effort not to lie, understand? Why? Because that desire and craving to lie, understand? You are selfish, correct? That's why you lie. Otherwise, why do you lie? You lie because you want to conceal a fact, understand? So that you won't get into trouble, understand? Especially those who cheat upon their spouse. Then sometimes you lie because you don't want to be caught. Even the boy, the small kid, know how to lie. Did you do it? No, daddy, no. Actually, he did it because he's scared the cane. He's scared you get angry with him. But certain child is different. They are born honest. they will accept. They will not lie. So you have to understand your kid. So meditation is the same when it comes to cultivation. It is always wisdom. If you don't have wisdom, your mind cannot free. So coming back to his question, first one is regarding craving. After listening to so much Dhamma, why still got so much craving? What is your answer? You have heard a lot of Dhamma, isn't it? You still got craving, isn't it? Maybe not so much. Why you think it's like that? Why you think it's like that? Yeah, can go. Why do you think it's like that? Craving. Craving is what? There are three types of craving. What are the three? The Buddha has already expounded. Three types of craving. What are they? Kama tanha. What is that? Sensual craving. Then, bhava tanha and vibhava tanha. Craving to be and not to be. First one is sensual craving. Craving of the senses. Anasana. You must understand the difference between craving and the what they call wisdom. Anasana. When there is wisdom, there is no craving. Anasana. But without wisdom, there is craving. Craving always come with attachment. Always come with the evil root. Anasana. Selfishness. Otherwise, there is no craving. Anasana. So when you have wisdom and you understand, you can love. Anasana. You can have the good food. But as long as there is no craving for it, anasana, you are okay. Anasana. That's why do not be gullible and deluded by what people say. Hey, you're spiritual, no? You cannot have craving, no? To them is what? Good food cannot eat, no? Because they call that craving. If that is your answer, then I don't think you understand the Buddha Dhamma. Because the Buddha also invited to the palace, all the good food he also eat. The king, everything they offer, the best, he also eat. But the only difference is he don't attach to what he eat. Anasana. Got conditioned to eat, he eat. Anasana. When offered, he rejoice and he eat. Even lousy food, when he go pindapat, whatever he receive, allowable, he eat. Anasana. He got no craving. If he got craving, means what? I don't want to go there and pindapat. Where the food there, no good. Then, selfish. Anasana. Then I want to go that house. Every time give me good food. That is attachment, anasana. That is selfishness, anasana. So, this is what you mean by craving, desire to have that thing when there is no condition to have it, anasana. But when you don't have the desire, there is no craving, no attachment. Means what? You don't understand the meaning of craving, anasana. You don't understand the Dhamma that the Buddha tried to teach you. Anasana. To you, you have a blanket definition. Spiritual cannot have craving. Anasana. Means cannot have good food. The Buddha never say that. No. The Buddha say, don't attach. Anasana. Don't cling. Don't grasp. Don't deludedly hold and believe that there is a being inside. Sakaya ditti. That's why the whole Dhamma is not understood, but they use the word and they go and get themselves in trouble. Anasana. They think, how can I develop the spiritual life? After that, I had to give up everything like the monk. The Buddha never say that. Anasana. The monk give up because they want to cultivate. Anasana. It's the other way around. Anasana. They don't become enlightened and give up. Anasana. Because to be a monk, you have to renounce because it's more conducive to cultivate. Anasana. That's why you renounce to cultivate and become enlightened. You don't go and become enlightened then renounce. Anasana. You see what is happening. And when you don't understand, you take the word and become gullible. Then you go and do all those things because logical. Anasana. Very logical. Hey, you're spiritual, no? you must not have craving, no? Means you try to live like an enlightened one. Means what? That's why you have problem. Like he said, tremendous effort. You try to suppress your craving, but you cannot. You like to have those things, but you outwardly try to live according to that idea of enlightenment. That's why I always say the non-enlightened one is trying to teach the enlightened one how to live. I must not have craving. So nobody see he don't he eat, but somebody see he don't eat because I'm spiritual. So if you do that, it's hypocrisy. Understand? The craving is so strong inside, you don't have mindfulness. You cannot see that craving. And you have that idea of enlightenment. Being spiritual, I must not have craving. Means I must not have good food. I must not stay in a nice house. I must renounce everything. The Buddha never said that. Because lay people, the Buddha said, you keep only the five precepts. You can own things, you can have things. And he even teach you the four types of happiness that the lay person must have. The first one is what? Happiness of possession, is it? If you have known that, you have through the right means, right livelihood, acquire them. Then you have wealth, you have money, you have property, you have whatever that you earn through righteously. So that joy that comes with the happiness of possession is the first happiness that a lay person should have. Then after that, you know how to use this possession or wealth or money or whatever you have for the happiness of all. Means you, your loved one, your family, your friends, and for humanity. That is another type of joy, understand that? You use it for wholesomeness. Then the third one is what? Freedom from debt. Understand now? If you can pay off all your debt, to be free from debt is another type of happiness. Those who have loan, especially those who borrow from, they're called Tai Long. They will know the joy of freedom from debt. Means loan shark. Then the fourth one is what? To live a blameless life. Means what? So that the wise one will not blame you. When you already can afford and have the means, you should have a lot of generosity. Understand? Don't be so stingy and calculative anymore. Understand? If you can help. You can really let people have the things so that they can improve on their livelihood and all those things. You should allow all this. Understand? So you live a blameless life. Otherwise, people will say and talk, wow, this guy is so rich and yet so stingy. Understand? So petty. So you must live a life that is blameless so that the wise will not blame you. So that you have goodness, kindness, generosity, and all those things. So these are the dhamma that they never apply. Because when you hear and listen to dhamma, the Buddha's most important advice to you is what? You listen to dhamma is to develop the right view. Understand? The right view is very important. When you have right view, you straighten your view. Understand? When you straighten your view, what happens? You are no longer deluded, understand? Then the first link, dependent origination, avijja paccaya sankhara, gets weakened, understand? That's why ignorant avijja gets weakened. When avijja gets weakened, when your view is right, when you straighten your view, this dependent origination will be weakened. Means avijja paccaya sankhara means dependent on ignorance, it conditions sankhara, which is activity of mind, your thinking, your reaction, your emotion, your heedlessness. All this will weaken. So sankhara, which is mental activity, mental volition, mental, all everything that your mind can do, this one will slow down. Then when your view become more and more straightened, when you no longer wrong view, then avijja paccaya sankara cease to be. That's why you don't think. Understand? That's why the enlightened one don't think. Understand? They only use thought when they need to. Understand? That's why I've been telling you all. You don't have to think. But for you all, it's so difficult because the hindrance are there. The delusion is there. The avijja is there. That's why sankara keep on arising. That's why the Buddha says, sabbe sankara anicchang. All of sankara, mental activity, mental states, mental volition, everything that the mind can do, they are impermanent. They come and they go. Then why do you hope? And all of sankara brings about suffering. If you attach and cling and hold deludedly, suffering is the result. That's why he always used the characteristic and used the word sankara. So sankara is inclusive of your feeling perception. The content of consciousness is sankara. So when you understand that, you must listen with understanding. Listen to develop the right view, to straighten your view. Understand? And then when you have right view, you will not become deluded. Then you will know how to live life. And craving will naturally slow down. Then finally one day when you no longer deluded, craving will be rooted out. No more craving. Craving is a desire that comes from ignorance, anasana, that comes from your delusion, sakaya aditi, that condition you to be greedy, that condition you to grasp, cling and hold, because you think you exist, anasana. The me and the I, the personality, the ego, create the selfishness, create the person to try to own thing and have thing. That's why you have greed, you have selfishness, you have desire, you have craving, you have lust. All come from the ego. Without the I and the me, there is nobody to be greedy. Thing is just the way it is, not what you think. That's why wisdom free, root out the whole thing. Without wisdom, it's very difficult to cultivate. So always remember, guarding the sense door need wisdom, not effort. Then listening to Dhamma, you must reflect, contemplate the three turning to develop the wisdom. Understand? The three type of wisdom that come with the three turning. Suttamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya, and Bhavanamaya Panya. Then the second question is of course straightforward. Do we comprehend? If you comprehend, you got no more craving. But because most people don't understand the Dhamma, they don't know how to listen. They don't reflect, they don't contemplate, they don't investigate, they don't cultivate mindfulness. That's why you cannot see, you cannot understand. The moment you develop the spiritual faculty, the mindfulness gets stabilized, all of the teaching become very clear. And you can understand them very easily. Okay? Yeah. So, no more questions. Now, we can open back to the floor. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yeah, it can be developed. Okay. It's a very good question. You see, Ng Bia asked a very good question because she has developed some form of cultivation. That's why she realized samadhi, she can only do it when she is in the form of meditation because it's stable, understand? Your senses are mostly down. Understand? But when you come out to live life, you are active, understand? You are in the active mode. You're seeing consciousness, you're hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness. You got to act, you got to move. You got to be aware of many things, and your thought keep on moving. And sometimes the hindrance are there. So in the active state of daily life, samadhi is very difficult, understand? That's why it needs to be trained, understand? Samadhi in daily life can only come about when your daily mindfulness is very stable. That's why there are two very different types of cultivation. The formal meditation, to me, you ask me personally, I will tell you, it's not enough. It's not the meditation. The real meditation only starts when you have stabilized that mindfulness and go into daily life, the daily mindfulness. That is when the real meditation. That's why I always tell you all, not until you have stabilized that mindfulness and go into the daily life to cultivate the sati sampajana that the Buddha talked about. Mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action and all activity within the moment. The real meditation has not started. And even after you have done that, there is only the initial wisdom. You still got the other three foundation of mindfulness to go through. That is only kaya nupasana. Then you need to contemplate and reflect on the four elements, the 32 parts, the 9 stages of cemetery decomposition. Then you go into feeling. Then you go into citta, the content of consciousness. Then you go into dhamma, the final one. And the final one is Dhamma Nupassana talk about the five hindrances. The first one, mindfulness of five hindrances. Then mindfulness of the five aggregate of form and mind so that you are not gullible, not deluded. So that you don't cling to this five aggregate of form and mind, which is what you are, the human being and all things. Then after that, you talk, he teach you the Dhamma about the 6 internal sense bases and 6 external sense bases, the 18 sense, right? These are the third category of cultivation of Dhamma Nupassana. Then you move into the 7 factors of enlightenment that I talked about just now. Then the last one still fall back to the 4 noble truth. That's why the real meditation is the 4 noble truth, especially the 4th noble truth, Noble Eightfold Path. Noble Eightfold Path covers everything. So, coming back to your question, you see, the formal meditation, most people can do because they force themselves into sitting. And whatever you think that you train and force yourself into, you become skillful, like badminton, everything. Understand that? So when you become skillful, what happens? You are very skillful, let's say, in the gym, you train yourself. You have all the muscle, everything, because you train in the gym, very conducive environment. So retreat, formal meditation, it's like you go to a very conducive place to train, understand not? Like you go to the gym, you train. Then when you are skillful already, what happens? If you don't come out to life to test your skill, understand not? To compete with people of different background and understanding, you will never know whether you have perfected your skill or not, understand not? That's why you need to go into life and interact with people. That's why you have to use what you have learned and trained to come out into life, understand not? You go for competition and all things. Yeah, but that is game, understand not? But what we are talking about is life, spiritual life. So spiritual life is to be lived. When you live life, then you interact with people. Then only you encounter all those things that people, the Buddha talked about under the first noble truth, reality of life and existence. When you are with people whom you don't like, when you cannot get what you want, understand not? When there is separation between loved ones and the thing you hold on to dearly, understand not? Your wealth, your possession, your business, your career, everything that you think you own, when it starts to split and disappear, separation, then you see whether you have wisdom or not. Otherwise, you will be gullible. Sit in a formal meditation, got fantastic experience, then you equate it. Oh, this is what jnana, what jnana, what jnana, and you think you're already enlightened. But you come out into life, you get entangled with separation from loved ones and possession. You found out you can still become afflicted, emotional, angry. Then what type of enlightenment is that? Understand not? So, to stabilize the samadhi in daily life, you need a stable daily mindfulness. That's why I always tell you, when you are in a retreat, yeah, or in a formal meditation, don't just sit. No point. There are times to sit, to realize the cessation. you can also lie down, the form of meditation. Then to understand clearly what is going on, you want to go deep into consciousness and all things, you can. Form of meditation will help. But that one cannot live life. But you need some of those experiences to go into the consciousness, deep inside, so that the wisdom can be developed. Because when it comes to cessation, Nibbana is totally different understanding. And you need a form of meditation to go in. Unless it's a glimpse, momentary one is, in daily life it can happen. That's why the sainthood is one moment of pure consciousness. You can have that glimpse of Nibbana. But it is an entirely cessation of form and mind within that moment too. So when you go into daily mindfulness, you have to start from, that's why you walk in a form of meditation. Walking is active, anasana. So when you can do that, you develop daily mindfulness. Bowing also can develop daily mindfulness. Contemplation, reflection is also daily mindfulness. That's why you have a lot of what they call marana nusati, contemplate on death. Buddha nusati, contemplate on the virtue of the Buddha. Then Dhamma nusati, Sangha nusati. All these are nusati. Nusati is contemplative wisdom. Whereas pasana is to insight into anasana. Vipassana. Pasana is insight into. We is the three characteristics. You insight into the three characteristics. Then kaya nu pasana. Nu pasana is different again, anasana. So kaya means the body, anasana. Then you develop mindfulness over this body, anasana, to insight into the characteristic of nature. That's why kaya nu pasana, anasana. You develop this mindfulness to insight. Then nu sati and nu pasana is different. So the Pali words are very distinct. So when you understand, you will know how to develop the appropriate cultivation to move on. So for a stable samadhi, you need a stable mindfulness until throughout the day. It doesn't come overnight, anasana. Initially, it's like more and more moment of awareness, mindfulness, less and less heedlessness. And this can only come about when your wisdom starts to arise, when your right view starts to become more and more stable, when you have more and more right view, then avijja weakens. And then you have less and less sankhara. When you have less and less sankhara, it's like you have less and less thinking, less and less thought, less and less hindrance. Then from heedless living, slowly it transforms into heedful living. The moment you are heedful and aware, you are no longer heedless, means what? The heedless thinking, the hindrance, slowly slow down and less until one day, no more. That's why you become heedful. When you are heedful, you are most of the time aware, with clarity, no thought. You only arise thought when you need to use them and live life. And when you have that, your stability of spiritual faculty is very stable already. Otherwise, you cannot reach there. To reach there, that wisdom must arise. So that's why the focus is finally still on wisdom. Even with samadhi, let's say you hold the continuous mindfulness. Some people do that. They develop anapanasati until so stable. They can carry their jhana 24 hours. I got one teacher who can do that during his young day. 24 hours. He can carry continuous mindfulness because anapanasati is very strong. So if you depend on that, then sometimes this anusaya latent tendency is suppressed. You don't know. That's why you have to release it out to normal awareness so that it is not too strong, the jhana or the samadhi. if it's too strong, it's a conditioned state, understand or not? It doesn't reflect the real state. It doesn't reflect whether you have wisdom or not, because you are using this samadhi to suppress whatever defilement. It's like you are enlightened. You cannot get angry. You are very peaceful. You are full of metta. And all those states can arise. But when you start to get old, when you become weaker, as age catches up, you lose your ability to enter jhana, to develop the energy field that you need to maintain that type of jhana. Then they realize they start to suffer. They start to become miserable. Oh, what happened? Because they compare. Last time with the jhana, so beautiful, so perfect, so still, like enlightened. Then, after that thing is gone, they want to get it, they cannot get it. Then they realize they become so weak, so fragile. And then old age, sickness, finally death threaten them. Because they don't know what that form of mind is. They still think this is what they are. A being cultivated until enlightened. That's why that sakayadity is still there. They cannot break. So when you do all this, you need to release your concentration. If you are using continuous absorption, or what they call one-pointedness meditation, or samatha meditation, you need to release it out. Otherwise, you will get trapped inside there. So when you release it out and go into daily mindfulness, then this daily mindfulness must stabilize until it become very, very stable. Then it's like there is samadhi. And then you use this to be aware of everything that is going on. And then when you use this to live your daily life and aware of everything that is going on, then you develop wisdom. Then you don't need that type of stable, collected and unwavering mind to help you. This is only needed initially, understand now, for you to see things as they are. Because without this samadhi, your mindfulness is too weak, understand now, and you cannot see things as they are. Means you cannot insight into the characteristic of nature. You cannot be with the moment of awareness. You cannot be with in the moment of arising, sustaining, and passing away of the phenomena. And because of that, because this insight come about without thought, as you awaken to it without thought, with the mindfulness and stability of samadhi. That's why you see things as they are, and within that moment, it's with that phenomena, the moment of its arising, sustaining, and passing away. You see them very clearly. And later on, you will start to see them everywhere. That's why I always say, truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. You can only do that when your mundane mind has already collapsed and you have perfect mindfulness. Yeah. Otherwise, you cannot see that. Because the mind is always clouded by thought. The mundane mind always come out and cloud your clarity. Then it makes you heedless. Yeah. Very fast you become heedless. So that question is very important. So formal meditation, you know, doesn't bring about the real meditation. So you still need to cultivate daily mindfulness. And daily mindfulness is the most important. And you have to do it until throughout the day almost. Most of the time, I wouldn't say all the time. Most of the time, you are just aware and silent. Body and mind just move as one. Your mind with the phenomena move as one. Either with the physical, with the mental, or with nature's phenomena. They are always one together. When you are in that state, you will know. The form and mind will know. Then you start to see a lot of things. Because when the mind is silent, there is awareness. You start to see a lot of things. Not only your mental intention, the subtle defilement, the subtle delusion, the minor conceit, everything you start to see. But the mind is so different at that level. It's totally different. And this one you have to go through the cultivation to understand. Otherwise, it's just what I am sharing with you. Okay? Wow, so fast, 10:30 already. Okay. So, like today, you prepare your question in writing will be good. You can also ask while you are here, like what Aang Bee did. So your question is very important. I realize with the question, at least I can explain it to you clearly. If not clearly, also clearer. Then you can actually develop the understanding faster. Because if you don't ask, you know what happened? Every time you got a question, everybody look at the mat. Because you are shy, understand not? If you want to learn something, you must break free from that shyness, understand not? Who is shy? The thought that perceives with that wrong view is shy, understand? Not you. Your nature is beautiful, understand not? That's why no need to hold on to the image of who you are, the ego. Shy of what? The ego is shy of itself, understand not? Break it, understand? Be yourself, understand? Be your natural being, understand? Just relax and be yourself, understand? Be your true nature. Don't try to pretend and act like something else inside there, understand? When you are with your true nature, you are very happy, understand? You don't have to suppress your feeling, understand? You can just express it out, understand? Because you got nothing to shy, understand? Nothing to worry about what people say. Because there is understanding that you are being sincere, understand? When you are sincere, honest, and true to your understanding yourself, you are beautiful, understand? Then no more fear, no more emotion, no more shyness and all those things. That's why all the shame, everything is from your thought, understand? The delusion. When you understand the mind is free, completely free, then it is so beautiful. You use it with so much clarity and understanding. And this form of mind is for you to use, understand? Karmically conditioned out for you to use, and it's not you, understand? That's why you are the happiest person in this world. You can use it, yet you don't have to worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. And you don't have to worry about whatever happens. That is the real wisdom of what life is all about. Not to be deluded by this form of mind, clinging to it, worrying about it, constantly creating all those unnecessary fear, worry, and anxiety. Okay, we have to end. So do the sharing of merits, transfer of merit, then you can make your aspiration. Okay. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata ca bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired. May all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one and those who can receive them. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo. Let these merits accrue to departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hetu ca vito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. Excuse me. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be prosperous and peaceful always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, we will do the aspiration. Imina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo otu yawa nivana patia. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Keep in respect mindfully the Lord Buddha.
Thank you.